You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Monday, January 11th, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com, and today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. We have plenty of Jets news to discuss from the last few days, and we will get to that. But first, I unfortunately must share with you some very sad news about a friend of the Locked On Jets podcast. And I just discovered this last weekend, otherwise I would have told you sooner, but Dave T. Thomas passed away in October after a long battle with cancer. And again, I just discovered this last weekend, otherwise I would have mentioned it before now. Dave T. was a frequent guest on our show. He was a longtime scout. He worked for college all-star games. He worked in the USFL. He worked in the NFL, consulting with many teams through the years. He was a scout for decades. He wrote every year this very long and detailed book that gave you everything you wanted to know about each prospect in the NFL draft. I remember I covered the NFL draft. I had a media credential back in the year 2011, and I saw this book, and this was before I had met Dave T., and it was incredible how much detail went into telling you every piece of information you could ever want to know about each prospect. And I know Dave T. was our most popular guest. Over the course of last offseason, we had this series called the Listener Spotlight, where I interviewed listeners, and it was amazing how many listeners asked me, when's Dave T. coming on again? He was an incredible talent evaluator. I mean, I have to tell you, through the years, it was amazing how many times he just emailed me out of the blue with some 23-page scouting report on some fifth-round cornerback prospect that he was telling me the Jets should draft. And it's amazing the eye for talent he had. He was as good of a scout as could be, and he's a great guest. It's amazing how many times he'd do a show with us, and we'd stop recording, and we'd just keep talking, and whenever I had Dave T on, it was like I was recording. It was like I had two podcast episodes. I had the one we recorded, and then I stopped recording, and then we'd talk so much it would be like almost like there'd be a second podcast episode. Only we wouldn't have the footage of it. Just a guy who was. It was really great to have on. He was a great guest. He was insightful. He was witty. And many times to get a guest on the show, there's weeks, if not months, of groundwork trying to figure out a time for them. Whenever I asked Dave T. to be on, he'd come on the next day. He was just as good as it got. And I know how much you guys enjoyed the podcast where we had Dave T. on, so I wanted to tell you that. And I hope that at some point in the off season we can find a way to appropriately honor Dave T. And I can tell you, draft season is never going to be the same on this podcast. And I did want to share that with you because based on your feedback, I know how much you guys enjoyed it when Dave T. joined our show. And my deepest condolences go out to his loved ones. Wild Card Weekend is in the books for the NFL in the 2020-21 season, and it did actually impact the Jets, even though they did not make the playoffs, and that is because the Seattle Seahawks were defeated on Saturday by the Los Angeles Rams, and that impacts the Jets because they own Seattle's first-round pick as part of the Jamal Adams trade. So Seattle's defeat in this game helped the Jets out a little bit. Now, in the NFL draft, the first 18 picks are the teams that do not make the playoffs, and the picks are given out. The order is determined by the records of the non-playoff teams. The rest of the picks are determined by playoff results. So picks 19 through 24 go to the teams that lose in the wild card round. Picks 25 through 28 are the teams that lose in the divisional round. 29 and 30 are the teams that lose in the conference championship round. 31 is the team that loses in the Super Bowl, and 32 is the team that wins the Super Bowl. So the fact that Seattle went out in the wild card round means that their pick position improves a little bit. And the way those six picks are determined, the way they determine 19 through 23 is it's based on record of the teams that lose in the wild card round. So Seattle ends up with the 23rd pick, and that pick will go to the Jets. So it doesn't make a huge difference, but it does help the Jets a little bit that they're going to be picking 23rd. And it's a bit unexpected. I don't think many people had the Rams in this game. I know that there were a few people who picked the Rams, but I certainly did not, based on the way the Rams have been playing, based on the quarterback situation, which really was not great in that game. They had to start John Walford, and Walford had to leave the game pretty early in it. Jared Goff had to come in, and you could tell Jared Goff's hand was not right, but the Rams still found a way to win the game. So it helps the Jets a little bit. You know, it's a pick that's 23rd when you thought you were probably looking at a pick in the mid to late 20s, and again, it's not that big of a deal, but it's about as good as the Jets could have hoped for entering the weekend, and I think most of us were expecting the Seahawks to win that game. Jets now pick a little bit higher, which means that either they're going to have a better pick of players than they thought they might have, or the pick becomes more valuable because it's a instrument the team can use for a potential trade down to stockpile more picks. I mean, as always, if you have a choice, you'd like to pick higher than lower. So even though I'm not sure there's a huge difference between pick 23 and, say, pick 27, 28, it's a little bit higher, so that benefits the Jets at least a little bit. And that's for the Jets, I think that's the most significant result from Wild Card Weekend. We are in the NFL playoffs and looking forward to the college football championship game, and there's only one place that has you covered, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action, and don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON. It's one word with no space, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Monday. The Jets coaching search continues. The team conducted four interviews over the weekend. On Saturday, the team announced that it had interviewed Carolina Panthers offensive coordinator Joe Brady. And then there were three interviews which took place on Sunday. And these were all with coordinators whose teams had played wild card games on Saturday. Those were Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll, Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus, and Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley. And in addition to that, earlier in the week, the Jets had interviewed Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, former Cincinnati Bengals head coach and current Arizona State co-defensive coordinator Marvin Lewis, and San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh. And in addition to that, there are a couple of more interviews that we know are scheduled. The Jets will be interviewing Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith and Saints defensive backs coach and former Jets corner Aaron Glenn. And Glenn also had spent some time in the Jets front office after his playing days ended. So there's a familiar name for you. And there could be other interviews along the way. You know, we don't really know about that. And it's difficult to say when the Jets are going to make their decision on this. The Jets have to work around some fairly complex rules. One of the reasons they interviewed Bieniemy last week is that the Chiefs had a bye week. And if your team is in the playoffs and you have a bye week, you can interview them during the bye week. However, the Jets could not interview a number of candidates who were playing in the wild card round, because if you were playing in the wild card round, win or lose, you have to wait till after that game to interview, which explains to you why Staley, Daboll, and Eberflus were interviewed yesterday, and why Arthur Smith is yet to be interviewed, or Aaron Glenn. Smith and Glenn played on Sunday, which means that the Jets could not interview them until right now. And depending on how long these playoff runs go, it could be a little while before the Jets have their head coaching hire. Now, a few things to watch it during this search. And one of them is, don't read too much into the candidates you hear or don't hear about. And that this is something that I'm starting to hear, is why aren't the Jets interviewing this candidate or that candidate? And just keep in mind that while many of the candidates are known by the public, many of the candidates are reported, sometimes the Jets interview a candidate and news does not break until they announce that they've already interviewed them. And that's been the case with two candidates the Jets have interviewed so far, Marvin Lewis and Joe Brady. There was no indication that these guys were on the Jets' list prior to the point they interviewed. In fact, we found out the Jets were interviewing them because the Jets publicly disclose it after they finish an interview with a candidate. There were no previous reports that Marvin Lewis was going to interview. There were no previous reports that Joe Brady was going to interview. In fact, I saw during last week people were questioning why the Jets were not going to interview Joe Brady. It just was never reported that the Jets asked Carolina for information. It was never reported that the Jets had scheduled an interview with Brady. So with that in mind, don't read too much into the media reports of who the Jets are interviewing, who they're not interviewing. I've seen some questions, why aren't the Jets interviewing this guy? Why aren't the Jets interviewing that guy? The Baltimore coordinators come to mind. They might, you know, we might find out today or tomorrow that the Jets are actually interviewing them. But the reason we may find out is just that the Jets announce it. The Jets announce that they've already interviewed somebody. It may not break to the press. Now, another piece of advice I would have for you is that as you watch the playoffs, because many of these candidates are still in the playoffs, you're going to see their teams play, you're going to see their units play, try not to read too much into what happens on the field in these games. I think there's a tendency, especially in some of these games where these candidates are going up against each other, like Saturday's game, which featured the Bills offense against the Colts defense. Bills offensive coordinator is a guy who got an interview, so is the Colts defensive coordinator. There's a tendency to view this as like a matchup that's going to sway the Jets' decision, or a matchup that should sway the Jets' decision, and I would advise you to be on guard against that kind of sentiment, because you have to remember a couple of things. First of all, this is only one game, and you never want to overreact to one game. One game can really skew your vision on somebody. Everybody has really good games. Everybody has really bad games. What you're looking for is how somebody performs on a week-to-week basis. So I don't think you ever want to read too much into one game. But beyond that, it's not just about how a coach's unit performs that determines whether or not they're going to make a good head coach. The job of coordinator and the job of head coach are very different. In the head coaching role, you're responsible for the hires. You're responsible for the big picture vision. You have to delegate. You have to manage the coaching staff. It's not just about running one particular unit. So in a way, the unit's performance matters for a coordinator who's looking to become a head coach. Because it shows, on some level, it shows your competence, it shows your ability to do your job effectively, but the jobs are different. And if you watch the NFL for any stretch of time, you understand that there are some coaches who are very good coordinators, do a very good job in that role, who are awful as head coaches. So as you watch these games, try not to read too much into what happens. It's relevant, but it's just one data point. Don't make sweeping conclusions based on some coordinator's unit performing really well or really poorly. Don't let that be the judge in one game, whether you think a coach would be a quality hire or not for the Jets. Now, some of these candidates, and we're going to discuss about this coaching search more in the days to come, but some of these candidates, people are noticing, don't have a ton of experience. And in particular, I'd say Joe Brady, who is the Panthers offensive coordinator, only 1 year of NFL coordinator experience. And Aaron Glenn, who's never been a coordinator, only been a position coach in the league, and not a ton of experience there. And people are pointing out their lack of experience. And I'm not saying experience is irrelevant, but experience is not an end itself. It's a means to an end. Just because you have a lot of experience does not necessarily mean you're going to make a great coach. And just because you lack experience does not necessarily mean you're going to fail in a head coaching job. the way I look at experience is it's something that helps you learn. So if you're an NFL coach, you can observe how your team is run. You can observe what your head coach does. You can try and figure out the things that you like that he does. You can figure out the things that you do differently. It gives you a firsthand look into the way an NFL team operates, and you can figure out how you would run a team if you were ever put in charge. And as with anything, there are some people who are naturals, who just don't need much experience, who are part of an NFL coaching staff, and immediately they understand what they would need to do if they ever got a head coaching job. And they do really well. There are some coaches who get hired without a lot of experience and do really well. There are some coaches who require a moderate amount of experience in order to be ready for a head coaching job. And there are some coaches who could be assistants for decades. They could be assistants forever, and they'll never be ready. The guy I always use as an example is Romeo Crennel, who was a longtime NFL assistant when the Cleveland Browns hired him after the 2004 season. He had worked under Hall of Fame coaches. He'd worked under Bill Parcells. He'd worked under Bill Belichick. He was a position coach. He was a coordinator. He was very successful in those roles. 5 Super Bowl rings as an assistant. He was not a good head coach. And he failed with Cleveland. He failed with Kansas City. He got a little work as an interim coach this year with the Houston Texans. But ultimately, he was not a successful head coach, despite having all the experience in the world. And on the other hand, you see certain other coaches, Sean McVay, Mike Tomlin, step in without much experience and have immediate success. So experience is not everything. Sometimes hires which are criticized for being inexperienced end up doing a really good job. So I'm not saying experience is irrelevant, but for a candidate like Brady or Glenn, it's not so much about what they've done. It's about whether their brief time in the NFL has trained them properly, has given them enough of a basis to be successful, to understand what they want to do, to understand how they want to build. That's more relevant than just pure resume. It's more relevant than how long they've actually coached in this league. Built Bar is the world's best-tasting protein bar, and the new Built Bar is even more delicious. There are now 18 amazing flavors, 6 new flavors, caramel, brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Joining the 12 original flavors, the bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar is healthy. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, and high fiber. Coconut almond has 18 grams protein, 180 calories, 5 grams sugar, 5 grams net carbs, while cherry barcia has 17 grams protein, 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON. It's one word with no space, LOCKEDON, for 20% off at builtbar, builtbar.com. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Monday. We're talking about Jets news from the last few days. And the last thing I'm going to discuss is not really Jets news as much as it is NFL news. And it comes out of Houston, and there's a lot of talk that Deshaun Watson is very unhappy with the Texans. And naturally, that has led many Jets fans to wonder, should the Jets try to trade for Deshaun Watson? And will they be able to trade for Deshaun Watson? And I think that both of those questions have a very clear answer. Should the Jets try to trade for Deshaun Watson? Well, of course, he's a top quarterback in the NFL. If Houston makes him available, obviously you make a call for a team that's in the position the Jets are in right now. Will they be able to trade for Deshaun Watson? I mean, to say that I'm skeptical that they'd be able to make a deal like that would be one of the biggest understatements in recent memory. First of all, Houston would have to make him available. And if you're Houston, you're going to do everything in your power to try and improve that relationship. You're going to try and do everything in your power that you don't have to trade him. So I think that the odds are still probably against Houston trading him, because even if he demands a trade, I mean, if you're Houston, you want to keep him. You don't have to trade him, and you're going to do everything in your power to try and make things better. But even if they do trade him, I mean, it's an uphill battle for the Jets. And I know this will be disappointing to hear, but first of all, Deshaun Watson's got a no-trade clause. So he could pick the team he wants to go to. And ultimately, I don't think the Jets are the team he's going to want to go to. I don't think he's going to want to go to a team off a 2-14 season. I think he's going to want to go to a better team. So that's number one. But number two is, like, half the NFL is going to try and trade for Deshaun Watson. The price is going to be astronomical in a trade. And while the Jets do have a lot of picks, they don't have much in the way of talent on this team. So if we start talking about the Jets trading away most of these premium draft picks, well, you're going to be in a situation where even if you could pull off a trade, which, again, you're probably not going to be able to, because, first of all, that means Houston would have to put him on the trade block, and two, it means he'd have to accept a trade to the Jets and waive his no-trade clause to go to a 2-14 team. But even in a world where you could do this, again, like, half the teams in the NFL are going to want to make a deal, which means that the price is going to be astronomical. And I think too many people are in the mindset that because Houston gave DeAndre Hopkins away, that means they're just going to give Deshaun Watson away for anything, which is probably not the case. Very different situations. As dumb as the Hopkins trade was, it doesn't mean that the Texans are going to give Watson away for whatever they can get. And in fact, I think it probably makes it less likely, because based on the negative backlash that they got for the Hopkins trade, you'd think that that would probably make it less likely that they take a cheap deal for Watson. But different situation either way. And with the Jets, you maybe have resources to trade, but the Jets also need those resources to build up the rest of the team. And essentially what you'd be doing in that situation is you'd be trading away all of your assets to build up the team, and you'd get a quarterback who's very good, but also very expensive. You know, a team has two mechanisms to improve itself. You have draft picks and cap space, and the Jets would essentially be using up both. And look, Watson's very good. I can't pretend that Watson would not make the Jets much better. It would make a big impact, but I'm not sure you'd be able to build a team around him, and you'd find yourself in a situation where maybe you'd have the quarterback, but you wouldn't have the pieces around him. You know, if the Jets were maybe 2-3 years down the road, this might be a more viable option. But you know, just for where the Jets are right now, I think it's on. I don't think Joe Douglas would make that move. And depending on what you'd have to give up, which would probably be a lot, it probably would be most of your premium picks, I'm not sure it would necessarily be the right move for the Jets. And this is assuming Houston even makes him available and he'd accept a trade to the Jets, which very up in the air to begin with. So while there's plenty of talk in the Jets fan base about this, I'm not sure how realistic it is. And I wanted to talk about that because I'm sure I knew that in this week's mailbag show, I knew there'd be a lot of questions about that. So I figured let's just get that out of the way right now. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. I hope you have a good Monday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more Jets.